This is the Dr. Chris Lib Podcast. Welcome to a special mini-series called Bone Saws Bring It Back, Faculty Edition. The University of Alberta Medical Class of 2013, the Bone Saws, had their 10-year class reunion in November 2023. I invited faculty leaders and block coordinators to share their updates and reflections with their class. These interviews were recorded in November 2023 and are being released now in 2024. Dr. Anna Oswald is a clinical educator and adult rheumatologist at Kay Edmonton Clinic and the University of Alberta Hospital. She is a full professor in the Department of Medicine at the U of A with an academic focus in medical education. After serving as MSK block coordinator for 12 years, the last 4 years of which she also served as pre-clerkship director, she's now the director for competency-based medical education implementation for postgraduate medical education at the U of A. She also works as a clinical educator for the Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons, doing faculty development, educational resource development, and policy and strategy advising. All right, welcome to a special mini-series, which is the Bone Saws Bring It Back Faculty Edition. And today we have our special guest, Dr. Anna Oswald. How are you doing today, Dr. Oswald?
I'm doing great. Thanks for inviting me, Chris. I was excited to see this email.
Well, I'm so glad that you accepted the invitation. And so why don't you start us off? Give us a summary of where your career has taken you since 2013.
I was just thinking back to what was happening when I last met you guys in 2010/11. And I think at that point, I had just come back from maternity leave with my second child, and I was trying to work through a master's in medical education, which thankfully I finally got done. Took a lot longer than I thought I would. Had this deluded dream that on mat leave, I would just complete a thesis, and that didn't happen, but eventually it did with a lot of great colleagues and supports. So I did my master's, and I continued to do the blog for, I think I did it for a total of 12 years. It was a good long stretch. And then I was ready to not do it anymore after that. And through that time, I took on the role of director of pre-clerkship for a little bit. And then I got a lot more involved in residency training. And I started to work with the Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons as one of their clinician educators, initially for CanMeds and then for competency-based medical education. And so that was a really exciting time to be looking at different ways that we do education. And that led to me taking on a role at the faculty level to support all of our programs that are transitioning to competency-based medical education. So that's been a huge change initiative, I would say. And yeah, I guess, and I continue to be an active clinical rheumatologist through that. So kind of meandering through the medical education spaces, did my master's. Played in undergrad for a while, liked that a lot, went to a different level in undergrad. That was a little harder. Enjoyed moving over to residency, and I'm still liking the residency education space. And then now I've been doing a lot more faculty training and teacher training and faculty development and program support at that level. So kind of just making my way through the continuum, enjoying it.
Fair enough. And so I think that leads us to the next question, because from your vantage point, seeing all the things you've been involved in, what would you say is the state of medicine / healthcare?
So I think there's a lot of things that have actually improved and a lot of things that have slid in healthcare. There's a bit of both. And I would say that, interestingly, I have found as a predominantly outpatient clinician, ambulatory care, I do 90% of my practice in rheumatology. And I have found that bringing in initially e-clinician and now Connect Care has actually provided a lot more connection, to be honest with you, than I used to see as an outpatient physician. Because now I'm secure chatting my colleagues all the time, or collaborating on cases real time, instead of writing a letter that then goes into a fax machine. And 2 months later, they might fax me back their answers. So I find that really fun. And it seems a lot more engaged that way, although it was painful to make the transitions, of course. And there was lots of grumbling, myself included, all of us suffered through the transitions, but I think it's come out the other end quite well. And it served us really well through the harder part of healthcare, which was the huge stress test that we all endured through the pandemic. And that was really I really see that as a massive stress test on our system. And we really got to see where the faults and the crack lines were in our system as a result of the pandemic. And so, again, I do feel the Connect Care and e-clinician and all that stuff EMR really helped us through the pandemic, and we were able to really minimize exposure a lot of the time. Like when I was on inpatient service, you know, you could not be sitting in a room with eight people all crowded together trying to look at charts. But I would say that it's really been hard keeping morale and momentum up through this stress test, because all of us are feeling the health human resource crisis most acutely in primary care, but not only in primary care. We feel it all through the healthcare system. And I know there's just increasing challenges with managing the demands and the volume of care. And then, of course, the downside of EMRs is that they never go away, and that, you know, fatwa on laptops in the bedroom that we've instituted at our house to try and manage some of that. But I think it's just been a huge stress test, and it's been illuminating in the areas that most of us probably knew. If, you know, you asked people, how are things going in long-term care? How sustainable is primary care? How's chronic care management going for you in ambulatory rheumatology? They're hard. And it's even more evident now.
Right. And no, I appreciate what you're saying. The technology we try to use, there are ways it helps, ways it doesn't help. But I'm glad to hear what you're saying and the way that it connects you with your colleagues. Now, switching gears a little bit, as mentioned, you were the block coordinator for the MSK block while the Bonesaws, we were in medical school in second year. And so just to look back, what was your favorite memory from your time as block coordinator?
Yeah, I think my favorite memories from my time as block coordinator, like I've always had a real soft spot and passion for helping with that transition from I'm a book classroom student to here we go looking after patients on the wards and clinics, wherever in the ORs. And that's always been a passion of mine. So for me, some of the real highlights were like when we would get together and do things like we did that trauma sim, which seemed so big and scary at the time when you're a classroom student, but really we were in like Ziegler-Ledcor and we didn't even have a mannequin, and we had like little IV bags with, I think I put red food coloring in them. So I just remember like the excitement in the room about like even those initial forays into pretend clinical land and how you guys were so into it. And I thought that was awesome. And we did like different cadaver joint injections and trying to figure out like how to make sure you guys didn't poke each other with the needle constantly or poke each other. And even just things I forgot, like that we had to teach people how not to hurt themselves when holding a needle. So those are super fun times. And then, you know, I always was a big one for sharing like haunts and life experiences, and you guys were always receptive to that, and I appreciated that. So yeah, that's I think what stands out to me is trying to like gently bring, pull, shove everyone along towards that transition towards we're going to be real doctors, and let's think about it that way.
Right. Well, I want to tap into that, because when I have learners, I try to frame our time together. I say, hey, you're my junior colleague. I'm your senior colleague. So the teaching is because we're going to work together.
Absolutely.
And so what advice do you have for your junior colleagues who are early in their career, kind of where we are?
Yeah, I mean, you guys now are 10 years out. And so it's an exciting time. And you're in that phase that I was in when I first taught you guys, like young families, new practice, trying to make it all work and balance it all. And I guess what I would say is careers are longer than you think of at that time. And there's time that you don't have to do it all at once. I remember feeling sad because I wanted to go to this conference. I had this opportunity to present some cool work, and yet I had like a 1 and a 3-year-old, and it was just, and my husband's a physician too, as you guys know, and I couldn't make it all work. And I was like, oh, I really, really wanted to go. And they were like, you know, there's going to be other times for that. It's not the one and only. And I didn't really appreciate that as much as I do now. I think that there's lots of time to get it all in. You don't need to stuff it all in while you're like barely sleeping and coping with everything and balancing it all. And I guess the other thing I would say is I've been involved even with your class in all sorts of different change initiatives. And I remember we brought in PBL, so DL. After that, we brought in team-based learning and CBME and all these different change initiatives. And I guess I would just say, like, keep your passion. Change is hard. Don't be discouraged. It takes longer than you think. And yeah, go for winning hearts and minds first, but don't get discouraged. Just take a longer game. I was impatient. I always was. I wanted everything to be like sorted and now. and it isn't like that.
Fair enough. So just going to our last question here, what would you tell your younger version of yourself from 10 years ago?
Yeah, what would I tell my younger version of myself? Well, honestly, I now at this stage have teenagers, and I probably, which is crazy, and I think it is shocking to them on a daily basis that I am able to function in society and, you know, that not everything that I think and say is totally ridiculous. But I guess I would say, yeah, take the routes that really light your fire, right? Like find the things that you love, not the things that necessarily you're supposed to love or that you're supposed to do. And when things really piss you off, like I find when things totally get up my nose and really irritate me, take that as an opportunity to, like, if you're interested in that kind of work, like to dive into it and figure out, like, what's going on here and how can I understand this better? Because it's easy to be pissed off, because in our system, there's so many things that can be, you know, sources of that. But I just find that those are great sources of motivation to, like, bring a student on board. I always find students super motivating. So if I know that I'll never do something, I'm like, I'll bring a student on board because I'll do it for them. I probably wouldn't do it for me. But I'll bring a student on board because they're usually, like, enthusiastic and more, I guess, idealistic than I have become over time. And they remind me of those things that I liked about that stage of medicine, and I bring them on and try and, like, figure out, like, why, what is going on here? Why is this bugging me so bad? And why can't we, you know, sort through this together or look into it or understand it better for the aims of good? So I would say if it pisses you off a lot, that's probably a good signal that that's something that will maintain your energy if it's really hit that nerve. And follow those things you like figure out what you like. My career has been somewhat meandering. Like, I talk to people now who are doing masters in medical education or other things like that, and they're like, oh, what's your area? Are you an assessment specialist? And I was kind of like, well, I started that way, and then I like this thing, and I've, you know, delved into transitions and from preclinical to clinical, and then I delved into this whole other thing around authenticity. And I think just sustain your interest through the things that light your fire.
Mm.
And I guess the other thing I would say is spend a little more time hugging my little kids, because now I was recently on an airplane and I had, like, little 5.5-month-old Maya next to me. And I was like, oh man, I'll hold your baby if you want, because I still miss that now that I have my super awesome, but sometimes crotchety teenager people.
Well, Dr. Oswald, thank you so much. As I was looking back as well, and I just remember my impression of how you approach teaching, you know, the lectures you've gave, not only just the, you know, information that was being provided, but just through the lens of how do we do this for our patients, and the way that you would speak to the way you just try to do that with your cases. And I think you're impressing that on us as the impressionable medical students that we were. And so when I think of you, that's what I think of, wanting us to know how to care for our patients well through this knowledge we have. And I'm so happy to hear the way that you are meandering through your career, not in a derogatory way, but it sounds like you are making sure that everything gives you the lift that you need to sustain yourself into the next thing that you do. That to me is a signal that you're actively engaged in what you want to do. And so it's such a privilege for us, for everyone that works with you and who gets to benefit from the work that you do. So thank you so much again for your time. And, you know, we'll just look forward to catching up down the road.
For sure. And if I could add maybe one last thing that I just thought of, I remember when I would meet with your class and I would tell you, you're going to have hard times in clinical land, and like, make sure you have your people all set up so that you got your supports and stuff. Mid-career, that does not go away. And so, you know, like, honestly, there'll be different challenges and different whatever institutional systemic microaggressions that you're facing around, like, all the things you're doing. And make sure you help those people. Like, it sounds like you guys have such a great group, and I'm so excited to hear about your reunion and how, you know, you've got such engagement with that. But yeah, reconnect with your folks and your people who you can just, like, have a moment to, like, offload and vent and, like, can you believe this thing happened? And it made me feel like that. Make sure you still have that for yourselves, because it's not like when you get older, suddenly all that goes away and now you know how the world works and it's all fine.
Well, those are words of wisdom, and we'll carry it forward. And again, thank you for your time, and we'll look forward to chatting again.
Thanks, Chris.